Alright. A man had a dog that barked so loud that it woke up the whole neighborhood. Oh, I haven't gave it yet. And this dog was not barking as most dogs do.
He came out to see making the dog holler. When they got to the dog, his master was standing over him. They asked, "Mister, why in the world is your dog hollering so loud?" His master responded, "This dog is hollering for two reasons. First, he is sitting on a nail. Second, he ain't hurting bad enough to get up off it. So he just sits there and hollers." Many of us are sitting on nails of heartbreak, nails of troubles, frustrations, worry, sickness, misery, and whatever else you want to add to this list. The thing is, Jesus, he stands next to us, and what is he saying? He's saying, "Come unto me, all who are heavy laden and burdened down, and I'll give you rest." But we tune Jesus out, and we keep on complaining, we keep on hollering, and we keep on crying in our misery. Would you pray with me? Father, I come to you on this morning asking that you would bless us on this morning. Asking, Lord, that you would touch every heart, mind, body, and soul up under the sound of my voice. Asking, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts for a word from you. Lord, I pray that you would use me this morning as you see fit. I'm not worthy for you to do this, but I ask humbly right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would speak through me. Lord, I don't know every situation that the folk here are going through, but you know, Lord, and you know their hearts, you know their problems. And I ask right now that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, and you would mend those broken hearts, and you would call those to yourself who's in your will to be called. I pray that you would use me as a vessel and speak through me. These are all things I ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ladies chapel is here. I'll go to ladies' room, please.
Many of us are bogged down with problems. I mean, we have all sorts of problems. We whine and we complain about all of these different things, but it never seems to fix the problem. It never seems to make everything all right. This morning, my brothers, I want us to take a look at what Jesus is doing in the midst of this situation and what Jesus is requiring of us in the midst of these problems. This could be just the state of mind that we're in. Or it could be an actual situation that we're in. For most of us, if you've heard me say time and time again, and again, the reason why we are in these situations or in this state of mind is because we are trying to attack these things and fix these things in and of ourselves. We believe that we're grown up, we're grown folk, we can handle it. Or I'm a man, I can take it, I can do it, I can fix it. You know, they say the definition of insanity is what? Do anybody know?
Repeat behavior expecting different results.
Or to put it another way, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. That's an insane man. That's a crazy person. He ain't got it all together in his head. If we have not learned by now, if we haven't got out of the situation yet up until this point, isn't it safe to say we don't have the answer? Isn't it safe to say it's time to do something different? We got to realize that we ain't got it, brothers. But one of the most important things and the most hardest things it is for us to do, and it's time for us to do it, is to become humble. It is to put our pride to the side. It is to become as a child. Why do I say become as a child? Because as a baby, what do? They can't take care of themselves. They can't feed themselves. They can't clothe themselves. They have to be dependent on who? Their mothers and their fathers. This is what Jesus is requiring from us. To become humble. To become as a baby. And realize that this is not to say that all the problems don't go away. You've heard me say that over and over again. Because all the problems may not go away. If God chooses or wills to remove that, He will. But what it does mean is that His grace will be sufficient enough to carry us through the problem. What it means is He will give us that peace that we have been trying to get ourselves our whole lives and never seem to have that peace. Bible calls it peace that surpasses all understanding. How is it that I can be stuck in a situation and have such a joy within me when everything around me is crumbling, but I'm at peace and I have joy? Why is that? Why is that? That is because I am drinking from a cup that will never run dry. I'm drinking from a well that will never run dry. And where I'm drinking from is Jesus. That's where I find my rest. That's where I find my joy. That's where I find my peace. Because He is the only one who can give it. Let's take a look at three verses this morning, my brothers and sisters. And we want to see how we can overcome these tribulations, these nails of heartache, and these nails of pain. We want to see how we can overcome that and how Jesus tells us to overcome that. Why don't you open your Bibles to Matthew, the 11th chapter? Beginning at the 28th verse. These three verses, I'm sure we all have heard over and over and over again. And a lot of times we may tell ourselves, well, that's what I'm doing. I'm coming to Jesus. That's what you thought you were doing, but you are seeing no results. You see nothing is happening. Nothing is changing. You still feel the same way you felt before. We're going to see if we can camp out on these verses and see if we have really come. And if we have not really came, we want to find out
how one must be and what one must do to come. So let us read. We're going to start at the 28th verse. And it says, Matthew 11, starting at the 28th verse. Matthew 11, 28, it reads, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May the Lord add a blessing for the reading of his word. How many of us have heard these three verses before? So now, in hearing that, What are those verses saying to you? I mean, have you actually dug into those verses? I mean, we know the Bible tells us that all we have to do is believe. Right? Sure. Believe in faith that Jesus is the Son of God and he has died on the cross for our sin and God has raised him from the dead and will be saved, right? So what is Jesus saying here when he says, "Come to me"? Well, what you have to understand, my brothers and sisters, is looking back earlier in this chapter, right here, Jesus is in the midst of his ministry. And at the end of chapter 10, he had just sent out the 12 disciples to go and preach and teach and preach with power and
spread
the gospel, the truth of the good news. And it moves over into chapter 11 there, and you know, John was in prison at this time, and John had sent his disciples asked Jesus, "Are you the one to come, or should we wait and look for somebody else?" John wanted to know. So Jesus sent them back, his disciples back, and told them, "Well, just tell John what you have seen done, what the things that you have seen me do, the things you have witnessed." And then, this is what's important here. Jesus began, there was crowds around as all this was going on, and Jesus turned his attention to these crowds. And the crowds that was there, Jesus had went into all of these cities and all of these towns, and he was preaching the good news, and he was healing the sick, and he was raising the dead. But these folk, after seeing all of this, still had not come. And they still had not believed. I mean, it was even to the point where Jesus said, if the things that I've done happened in Tyre, happened in Sodom, in Gomorrah, they would have repented and came a long time ago. We need to take heed to this for today, moving into these next few verses here. Because what he's saying is, and it's, well, let me put it like this, it's such a blessing that we have record and proof of all these things here today. And what he says to them, he gives them a warning of what's going to happen to them because they haven't done this. That same warning applies to us today. So getting back to verse 28, when he says, "Come," we have to understand something. 3 minutes ago, I talked about becoming as a child. If we back up a little bit, In verse 25, Jesus said at that time, at what time? The time that when he was talking to the crowd and giving the woes and the warnings to all these people, he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and from the understanding. What does that mean? What was he talking about? We just talked about that these people saw all of these miracles. They witnessed all of these things. They thought they was pious and big and smart and witty and had all this knowledge. Stop thinking that they could figure it out themselves how they had been doing all this time. But the truth of the gospel was hidden. Those are these things that he's talking about. Jesus is talking about the truth of the gospel when he says these things. It was hidden. Their eyes was blinded to all of this stuff, even with all of the proof that they have had in the midst and in the front of them, in the midst of, of everything they've been through, they see.
Well, I think he's referring to when it says in this Bible, it says wise and learned.
Right.
Which to me means probably the Pharisees, the religious.
A lot of, and that is true. That is true, but that's not the only people he's talking about.
Well,
he is referring to the
people, educated people,
and see, a lot of people take the same stance and place that you're at with that, where it says, and they look, and that's what they look to. Well, he's talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers and different, but he's not just talking about them. He's talking about anybody who feel as though they can handle it themselves and don't need to be taught. This is why he says, you have revealed these things to children. Because children have the need to be taught. So when one take it upon themselves and they feel like they can handle it themselves, this is who he's talking about, the wise and the understanding. This is what he's talking about there. Now, we keep moving here to verse 28. He says, come. So when I read that and it says, come to me, first thing I have to know is there's a certain place I have to be in order to come. And that is, I have to become as a child. I have to become very humble in order for me to come. Well, what are you saying? I can't be all puffed up. I can't continue to say I can handle it myself. That is what he's saying. You just can't come. You understand what I'm saying? Your heart has to be in a place where you are in a place of submission and a place of dependency. Because if you're not in a place of dependency, what are you coming for? You don't need nothing. You already got it and handling it yourself. Then he goes on to say, all who labor in a heavy load. What is he talking about? What is he saying? Back then,
the people that have been leaned out and the people who have been used.
Yes, the people who've been oppressed. Back then, in that context, the Jews, they had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers putting all these different rules, regulations, and they was oppressing the people. And they was oppressed physically, they was oppressed mentally, and they was oppressed spiritually. And Jesus is saying, if If you become like a child and you come to me, I am going to remove all of that oppression. I'm going to remove all of those struggles that these folk are putting you through. Only if you just come.
Rid yourself of all the worldly knowledge and stuff you thought we know. Give yourself eternally to Him.
Exactly. That's what He's talking about.
All the junk you think you know.
That's what He's talking about. All of that doing the same thing over and over again because you thought you had it right, or I thought I had it right. That's what He's talking about. He's going to crush all of that. You need to crush all of that and become humble and come. And He's going to take that upon Himself because He did it already. And then He's going to give you that peace that you've been looking for. And then He goes on to say, I'll give you rest. Then in verse 29 He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So, we have humbled ourselves. We have became as babes. We have came to Jesus. Now He tells us that we must do something. And He tells us that we must take His yoke upon Him. What does that mean? What jumps out at you when you read that? Become a Christian, but what that mean? What does that entail?
Well, in order to live a good Christian life, you have to be like the oxen before the plow, pulling the plow through the soil, irrigating the soil, bringing people up.
So this consists of a certain behavior that we now have to have. We can say
actually we're just the animal. We got the yoke on us. It's more like a gifted yoke than a burden yoke.
Okay, exactly. You are right. So, but it's implying that we take His yoke. What is His yoke?
A lot easier than the one we're doing.
Well, yes, it's a lot easier than the yoke that's around our neck now. But when I read that, and He says, take my yoke and learn from me, that means, to me, He is telling me, now I got to do something. If He's telling me I need to learn from Him, and I have read the scriptures, and I'm constantly reading the scriptures, and He lays out for me exactly how I ought to live, that's what it's telling me. The things that He's laying out to me, the way that He wants me to live, I need to live this way now. So, in other words, my walk is not going to be the same anymore. My talk, the people I hang around, the things that I used to do, I'm not going to do no more. Because I am going to be learning from Him. And the number one thing I'm going to be learning from Him is that love. Because learning that love and Him putting that love in me, what happens? Now I become obedient. You become more joyful too. Absolutely. But we can't be obedient to God if we don't love God. Those two goes hand in hand, and that's how you can know if you truly love God, if you are doing what His Word commands us to do. Don't get me wrong, none of us are perfect. We all fall. That's why we thank God for His mercy and His grace. But on a daily basis, more and more, the things that He has commanded us, the things that we have learned from Him, we are going to do more and more every day. more than we did yesterday if we truly love God. And the more we love God, the more we're going to do those things. The more we do those things, the more we're loving God. It's going to prove itself in your works as far as how you live and what you do. And it's going to show how much faith in Him you really have. You know, faith, when you look at faith, just think of it as having feet. When you read this and you believe this in faith, your feet are going to do something. Faith is putting action behind what you have learned from God. Just keep on moving. Last verse here. But before we go, he said, you know, he gives us a promise. If we do those things, that last verse, the last part of the verse, he says, you will find rest for your soul. We touched on that a little bit. But all the things that we had been striving to do and look for in and of ourselves and get on our own, Jesus tells us that if we do these things in verses 25, we're going to receive that. That's a promise right there. He promises the rest that we're going to find if we do all of these things that He just told us to do. Isn't it a beautiful thing that we can lean on the promises of God? The last verse, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We just talked about that briefly. And when I think of my life, for example, and I think of the yoke that I was carrying around my neck, all the sin that I went through and the things that I was doing and the places I were. And it just kept looking like I was trying to get out of all this mess. Looks like I was trying to do what was right. I could never get it right. And it was hard for a brother. It was hard. It was tough on a brother. It seemed like every time I would take one step forward, I would take two steps back. It was hard. And then now I look at my life now. I mean, is it all roses, peaches, and cream? No. I still have problems and situations. But I compare the two. And I can honestly say today, even where I am right now, I'm okay with where I'm at. I'm okay with all these different trials and that I have to deal with and the problems, the shortcomings. I'm okay with that today. Before, I couldn't be okay with that. Before, I had to fight and really do something about that. But in a way that, one, wasn't pleasing to God, and two, that wasn't productive. See, before I couldn't rest in Jesus. Before, I was doing it in and of myself. But now, I can rest in Him. And I can say I'm happy. I can say I'm happy. I want you to ask yourself this morning, my brothers and sisters, where you're at right now in your life, can you say that you're actually happy? Do you have a joy deep down on the inside? Do you have a peace deep down on the inside? do you have that? You know, God wants you to have that. He wants that for all of us. But as we learn today, in order to get to that place, we have to become as a baby. Meaning we have to become humble. So it's my challenge and my call to you to search your heart. God already knows your heart, so I ask that you will not fool yourself and ask yourself honestly, where am I at? Do I need to go to Jesus? Ask yourself, where you at? And once you get the answer, it's my prayer that you do what's required to get what God is calling you to be. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the time that you gave us to go over these few short verses. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit takes this word that we have read and learned today, and it penetrates our heart, and you bring about the change in us that's needed. Whether folk are saved or whether they're not, Lord, I ask that you would do exactly what you need to do in each of our lives. Anything in us, Lord, that's not like you, I ask that you would remove it right now. Remove it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Anything that we need to repent of, I ask that you would bring us to repentance. Keep us all teachable, Lord. Keep us as babes and children. Thank you for revealing these things to us, Lord. It's such a blessing. And we're so grateful for it. You didn't have to, but you did. And we thank you for that. Now, Father, as I leave this place and as these men leave this place and go out through their day-to-day duties and things they're going to do, I ask that you would keep them covered in your blood, letting no hurt, harm, or danger come before them. Keep us all close to you. I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.